A word of warning. The following podcast contains spoilers, alcohol consumption, and careless babbling by two inebriated women. Please enjoy the show.
Tonight, it's a night for small screen entertainment. Join Kara and Tony as they discuss the 1977 made-for-TV film, The Spell, and sip on our featured cocktail, the Cosmerita. The lounge is now open.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Absurd Cinema Lounge. I'm Kara as your host, and my co-host, as always, is my sister.
Tony is here.
How's everyone's summer doing? I think so far it's been
burning up.
Pretty hot, yeah. Pretty hot.
Very busy summer.
I know. And we are kind of behind on our scheduled episodes, so sorry about that, everyone. I don't know, we're just living the high life, or we're just busy. There's no fun. So yeah, so let's start talking about getting everybody updated on what we've been doing or watching or drinking. I'll let Tony go first. So what have you been watching or doing lately?
Well, I thought I'd share today. I am an avid, you know, mystery watcher. And so, of course, the old one, since it kind of goes with the theme of today's movie of old TV show, like movie of the week or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I watched an episode, which come to find out it was the pilot, and then they had to reshoot the whole thing. But it was Tucker's Witch, if mm-hmm. you had seen that. It was back in like 1982. Mm-hmm. The one I watched had Kim Cattrall as the main character, and Ari, what was his name?
I didn't watch the pilot.
Okay.
I just remember the actual TV show with Catherine Hicks and Tim Matheson.
So I watched this and it was good. I was into it. Ted Danson was the murderer, just FYI.
And what is the show about?
And it's about a husband and wife, detectives, but the wife has, powers. You know, she's not your traditional witch.
I always said it's like Bewitched. You know,
yes.
It's kind of funny. It's a comedy as well as like
mystery. And she has that beautiful cat, Dickens. Mm-hmm. And so.
Now, was Dickens the same cat in the same cat actor?
They still had the same cat actor with the beautiful eyes. I thought it was great. And then I come to find out, I was like, wait a minute here. The second episode is actually reshot. So I had to look it up. Like, why did they change the main characters? Well, from what I found out, in 1982, Kim Cattrall was in Porky's, and that was a bad, bad thing. And at the time, so they...
Because it was like, Porky's is like a sex comedy.
Yeah, it wasn't really anything bad. But, I mean, what we would consider bad today. But Art Hindell, that was his name.
Oh, okay.
I liked them together. Mm-hmm. And... you know, the story, and she was young, and it was very, I don't know, I was just all into that first episode. So when it changed, and it was, I mean, Tim Matheson's great, but Catherine Hicks, of course, we know her from Child's Play, but it was just different. They basically got rid of Art and Kim Cattrall and recast it because of the Porky's thing, because he played a small role in it as well.
So yeah, it was just one of those, like, we don't want you in our... show because of the raunchy material.
And it didn't stop her. And then the second one is something my go-to every weekend or so if I'm like cleaning or anything is I watch Murder, She Wrote.
That's why when I, you know, I told you about Tucker's Wife because...
Witch.
Tucker's Witch. Gosh darn. Tucker.
Witch Wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my ring going off. Sorry.
I'm like, somebody's is that a at spell?
My door.
Is
yeah, that... Oh my gosh. I should have left it in there. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. No, but I knew that you liked Murder, She Wrote, and mm-hmm. I remember that show, and I was flipping around on Roku, and I seen it. I'm like, oh, I have to tell Tony about this because she would like this. Because I remember that show when I was really young, and it was short-lived, and it was like on CBS, I think. Mm-hmm.
So back to the Murder, She Wrote, because, you know, that was just my thing. So the episode I watched this week was kind of a take on it. It had a lot of guest stars that we would all know that have been on a lot of the movies that we have seen and talked about on here, but it's Murder Takes the Bus. And so Jessica and, you know, Tom Bosley, the sheriff, who is Amos, are going to Portland, Maine, to go to a function, a writer's function. So the car breaks down, so they got to take the bus. Well, of course, it's during a huge storm, and it's like a wicked, wicked storm, and they have, and the characters on the bus, there's a few of them, and they stop at, just so happened, the penitentiary and picked up a guy that was just getting out of prison. And they picked up a few other characters, like, along the way. So as they go, the weather gets worse and worse. And so they pull over at a, like, a restaurant, and they said, you know, basically, this we're stopping here. So everybody gets off. We got to wait out the weather. Well, one of the characters on the bus is Rue McClanahan from The Golden Girls, and is David Wayne, who played Big Daddy on Golden Girls.
Okay.
Her dad. And then the pregnant woman, because it has to be a pregnant woman, is Linda Blair.
Oh, she's an alumni at the Absurd Cinema Lounge.
But in it, you know, they're playing Psycho music as the rain, you know, it's like all these, like, you know, they're on that bus and they're, and it's playing the Psycho music in the back and just setting up the scene and everything. And then, of course, the guy from the penitentiary, the convict that was just released, is found murdered. And Jessica is running around in her Burberry coat like she's that detective, you know, to find out who killed him. So it was very entertaining, but it had a lot of guest stars and a lot of people that we would know and stuff. So that's what I've been doing. And that was so long, and I normally don't talk that long. So, and so what have you been doing, Kara?
I was going to say, if there's anybody who are fans of Murder, She Wrote or anything like that, let us know, because I'm sure Tony would love to know your favorite episodes. Or
and I watched them. The first two of the first season, of course, is the Sherlock Holmes one, and I watched those over and over. So what have you been doing?
Recently, I watched Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
Blood Farmers?
Yes. And it is I would say it's a gem of a Z-grade horror schlock movie from 1972. So basically, it's just like a cult of modern druids. Modern for 72, who kidnap these people and drain their blood. And they are trying to resurrect their priestess that's laying in a glass, like, coffin or case. It's really silly because there's one guy that just has, like, a baton and just, like, taps people on the head and they fall out. And the way that they drain their blood, so they'll have, like, a hose, and it's a pretty big hose, it's clear. And they'll just, like, tie it. Like, you never see them insert the hose or anything like that.
They just tie it around,
like, with a bandage, so it's underneath the bandage. And then they shake violently, like they're having a seizure as this blood is drying out of them. It's just so over the top and crazy. So I would recommend that if you just really want some silly, you know, the characters and the acting is funny, the clothes. Definitely check that out. Another one that I watched that I thought that I would just bring up, I thought it really was not good, in my opinion, was called Evil in the Time of Heroes.
That's a long title.
Yes. It's from 2009, and it's a zombie movie, but it's Greek, so it's subtitled. And it stars Billy Zane.
Which I'd be about.
And he's only in it for small little scenes, very few speaking lines, and they're in Greek.
He speaks Greek then in the movie?
Yes. And I don't know if he knows Greek. I mean, because his parents were from Greece. So maybe he knows, you know. But yeah, he was just...
Was he looking good?
He was bearded, and he was dressed like a Jedi.
Oh.
And did some little Jedi hand moves and tried to stop the zombies.
So he looked like a Yoda.
No, he looked like a, you know, he had a Jedi robe on.
I know, but I'm just saying he looked like a Yoda because he wasn't very attractive in the movie.
But yeah, so it was bad. It was bad. The plot was all over the place. They were time jumping around in timelines, and I was like, what is happening? Why are they back in ancient Greek times? I don't know.
I can't believe you still watched it.
Let me tell you, it's one of those ones where like you're on their phone halfway through it. And you're like, what the hell? Why is it still going? It was just like noise in the background. But I was playing a couple games on my phone. There's some other funny ones too, but I would take up a lot of time. I'll save those for next time. Have you been drinking anything?
Well, I was drinking these ciders. That was, what were they? The blood?
The Black Widow.
Black Widow. Where'd I get blood? I'm looking at her like, what was that called?
Yeah.
That was tasty, and I had way too much. We won't talk about the rest of that night, but those were good. You know, I went recently to Louisville, Kentucky. And it was for a weekend trip, so Kara would be very proud. I had to send her a picture of a gin drink. That's one of, like, something we would have on this show. But, you know, I had a mint julep. Again, it still wasn't better. It was still horrible, like I remember it. So I didn't drink all of it.
Yeah.
But you know, just being, you know, when you Rome, you know,
you went in Rome. Yeah.
But anyway, what about you?
I usually drink the same stuff, but however, I've kind of, you know, it's summertime, and I like to drink the hard seltzers because it's kind of refreshing, low sugar, you know, and the alcohol content can range, you know, 2 to 5% alcohol. But there's a brand that guy just started drinking. It's called Mamitas,
which I was so excited to see this in her fridge. I had to school her, but anyway, you go ahead, Kara.
Yeah, it's it's like a tequila and soda type thing, but then they've got some fruit flavors added to them. Really light, not sweet. They have things like, it's more tropical flavors that I've tried. It's pineapple, they also have a mango, lime, and then a paloma. That's more of like a grapefruity type.
Yeah. Cocktail. I was excited because...
Well, I know it's Chicago-based.
Right. I asked her, you know, do you know who is the ambassador, like kind of owner? Not really an owner. She didn't know.
I didn't know.
So I'm glad, you know, but Brody Jenner.
This is where the current events come in.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to talk about current events, everybody. So... I listen to, obviously, a lot of podcasts, and I recently been listening again. I was a big fan of The Hills. So Brody Jenner, Audrina, and Frankie are doing a podcast where they talk about each episode of The Hills. And I was a big, you know, I'm a big reality TV person, so that kind of was my thing. So then I said to Kara, I said, so do you know what the Mamitas stands for? And it... So it's from the beach outside of Playa del Carmen in Mexico. So kind of nice. Gives you a little tidbit for the day. But, you know, Brody Jenner, of course, is easy on the eyes. And so I would drink it. I would have drank it anyway, but I didn't know anything about it. So
I just like it because it's local. So that's going to just segue into...
what are we drinking today?
Our cocktail for this film. So, I chose a cocktail based on the name. So, we are doing a cocktail called the Cosmorita.
Ooh.
It is basically a mashup of the classic cocktails of a margarita and a cosmopolitan. And the reason why that I chose it based on the name is because of Rita. That is our main character's name is Rita. I'm like,
poor okay. Rita.
So, that'll be our cocktail, the Cosmorita. I did find this cocktail on... liquor.com. They do have an extensive list of recipes on there. I will be posting that on.
How many ingredients are in this?
Not many. It's very simple.
So that's good.
Simple, and you can also kind of...
is it more tequila?
It's got tequila in it, yeah. It's a tequila base. It's taken the tequila base from the margarita.
I've always been like...
Where Cosmos have vodka.
Right. So is there vodka too?
No.
Okay. So I'm more of the tequila base person.
So we're just using like the tequila triple sec, which is your orange.
Okay.
Some people, if they don't want to add too much booze, you can put a little splash of orange juice instead. Then there's the cranberry juice, which that goes in with the Cosmo. part of it, and lime juice.
Nice.
They both have those. It's pretty simple. And I just garnish it with a little lemon twist. So that is the cocktail that we're going to whip up today. So why don't we do this? We're going to whip up this cocktail, and announcer guy is going to come on in, and he's going to let you know about what the plot of today's film is. And we'll be right back to discuss it.
Rita is an unhappy teenage girl who not only has to deal with being bullied at school, but also has to deal with a dysfunctional family at home. When she discovers she has supernatural powers, she begins to exact revenge on her tormentors.
Got our cocktail here. Let's try this out.
All right, here we go.
I want to hear what Tony has to say about the cocktail.
Here we go.
Is it too boozy?
No. I love it because it's like a it tastes more like a margarita. That's
yeah.
What I like.
With a little bit of like, because the berry juice in there. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's a little
A little bite to it, but it's good. One of my favorites.
I would have this one again. I would do this again. So it's kind of simple to make as well. So I think that, I think it's a good choice for listeners to try this one.
And you know, when I said locale and then it's named Rita and the whole topic of this movie, I feel kind of bad saying that now.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Okay. So, our film.
All right. So,
our film today is
1977's movie of the week, The Spell.
Yes.
Insert music here.
So, this was a TV movie. And we'll talk more about the history of it and everything. But let's just kind of go through what this film is. So this film, I don't know what you would want to call the genre of this film, because I think it's like a family drama with a little bit of supernatural mix in.
Right, right.
There's a lot of family drama in this.
This was definitely a more drama, and especially at that time going on in the world. I bet people were like, what in the hell? Showing this crazy on regular channel on TV, you know? So we set the scene. So, Rita, obviously we talked about her. She's the young girl.
She's a teenage girl, and she's played by Susan Myers. She's really not done much, so people won't really know who she is. I think she had a small role in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, and she's not in acting anymore. She's in animation. I can't speak here.
Like anime. She's into that.
But
she's also in another TV series called James at 15, which went into another season called James at 16. So,
right.
I never seen
and
any
then James
of those.
Grew up. And, yeah. Yeah. And the sister.
Yes, well, we'll know the sister. Her sister's name is Christina, and she's played by Helen Hunt.
Which, it's amazing how it's Helen Hunt, but shorter. Like,
she's young here. She's probably like 13.
Yeah, she's young.
Yeah. And, you know, we know her from films like Twister.
Right. Mad About You.
The Quarterback Princess was
one. Oh, yes, that was one.
And I always remember her in... There was an episode of a short-lived horror TV show called Dark Room.
Okay, I remember.
Yes, and the episode that, and I have these all on, I've recorded somewhere.
With our VCR.
Yes, it's kind of lost. They don't, you know, I think you may be able to find these episodes on YouTube. You might. But the episode was called Dark Room. I think there was only like 10 episodes or something. Anyway, the episode that she was on was called The Boogeyman Will Get You. It was from 1981. And the girl thinks that her boyfriend is a vampire or something like that. And there's a twist at the end.
I'm sure he is, because that's how those shows work.
there's another episode from that thing that I always remember is the cat... Does the cat got your tongue?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was another good one.
And of course, there's a mom and a dad.
Yes, and the mom is also famous for people. Okay, now younger people who are listening to this show probably don't know who she really is, but anybody who's, you know, I'd say over 35, 40 would probably remember. And that's Lee Grant. And she plays the mom. The mom's name is Mary. And
who I think she was a modern woman.
Oh, yeah. In the 70s, you mean like her character?
Yeah.
Okay.
The character. Yeah. Yeah, she played Marilyn.
Right. And then, yeah, she, and she, you know, Lee Grant was in a lot of stuff. She was in like some more TV movies, like Airport 77.
Which that's when I was like, that's where that lady's from.
Yes. The Swarm was another one. The bee movie about the bees. She was also in The Heat of the Night.
Oh.
The 1967 film.
In the film.
Uh-huh. And Peyton Place was another one. But a lot of horror fans will probably remember her as the mom in Omen 2.
Mm. Okay.
Davy in Omen 2. She was the mom. So that's kind of her, but she's been a lot of stuff. And I thought she looked great in this show. And I kept thinking to myself, was her hair a wig? I mean, obviously it was like really big and kept, you know. And then we jump over to the dad.
It was a piece of shit.
Yes. Oh my God.
I mean, and it makes you think like people really talked that way though back then.
Oh yeah, they
did. I mean, the way they, you know, thought about people you know, what, you know, things that today that were like, ooh.
They're very cringy. Very
yes.
cringy.
But it did not age well, his character.
No. He's the dad, and his name's Glenn, and he was played by James Olsen. And he was in, you know, movies like Commando, The Andromeda Strain, which was 1971, that's a really good movie.
Yeah.
And he was also in Amity 2.
That's where I remember
Amityville
him from.
Amityville 2, The Possession, and he played the priest.
Yes.
Which I remember that one. And that's one of my favorite Amityville movies, is that one. I just felt it was super creepy, you know, with the guy getting possessed. And so you may have to try that movie one day. And I have to mention, he's got a very, very small part in this. Jack Colvin played this, like, psychic guy. I remember him when I seen him in this movie, and I'm like, that is the guy who played Jack McGee in the Incredible Hulk TV series. And he was also in Child's Play. So, to open up this, how this film is, so we have a fam. Well, let's first start out how it opens up.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
So it's another one of those.
It's very, very reminiscent of Carrie. You've got a girl in her class. It's her gym class. And that's how Carrie opened up.
Right.
You know. With our movie, these girls and her, they're all walking outside. They're walking into the gym. And they got their gym class. They are nasty bitches, these girls. And I'm like really like thinking,
and what they're wearing is what I was looking at.
Oh,
like, what the hell?
They were like, I mean, saying things to her. She's tubby. She's fat.
And they cut to the girl, and you think she's not.
She must be big.
Yeah.
She's not. Like, was she like a size 10?
Right. And they always have her in like sweatsuits.
Making her look bigger.
Yeah. And it's just kind of, okay. And then they cut to another day at gym class, and it's the rope. The dreaded rope climbing.
Oh, everybody. Okay, so when you were in high school or school or whatever, and it was gym day, and you seen those ropes hanging from the ceiling, I don't know about you guys, but I was like, no.
And I just said, I ain't doing this, and I walked away.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was like, I ain't doing that.
No, I didn't have a choice, so I had to go on the rope and go, I can't do it.
Well, when I say,
I never could climb the rope.
I would go, and I would just like put my hand, I can't lift myself.
No, I hated gym day with rope.
So they're like, break them up into two teams, and they're like competing.
Yeah, but why are these girls wearing like old school gymnastics?
Yeah, and they got those little like shoes on and slippers.
Gymnast slippers.
Yeah, I was like,
we're talking about, okay, so it's almost like, I don't even know what you call it. A bodysuit.
It was like a leotard.
Yeah, a bodysuit with long sleeves.
Yeah.
That's their gym clothes.
And all high cut, like bikini style.
Yes. I'm like, what are these gym clothes?
And she's wearing sweats. So
we can't say this is, we can't say that this is like gymnastics class or like that, because Rita is there and she's not taking that
and
class.
And I want to know, is that on the school list form of supplies at the beginning of the year? Gymnastic outfit for the rope climbing with those little shoes?
I don't know. I just thought it was the dumbest thing. Anyway, so she asked that Rita does not want to.
And the teacher is a woman and she's kind of like, feels for her, but you know,
yes, she's like,
it's the rules.
And this is where I also had a connection with Carrie when I first seen this. The gym teacher's like, yes, Rita, you have to do the rope, you know. Well, and the whole time these girls are like, yeah, tubby and all these things and fat. And
so they break them up into two teams, and there's probably like five or six girls on each team. But they make it this huge race, and they're all like, yeah!
Climb the rope and slide
like super
down.
Fast and whoosh, you know, and ringing bells. And then it's Christine. Okay, so she is paired with the biggest bully of them all, Kathleen, right?
Yeah.
Rita is. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, shit. So they get up to the rope. And it's like slow-mo in the beginning, like kind of like, okay, it's my turn now. And the girl flies up the rope and she's just like trying to hang on. Like,
well, yeah. And then her friend goes, no, I think her name was Jackie. Mm. Jackie, do a spin.
So she's and up this there. Is the best part ever.
Who does this in gym class?
She is like spinning and they're taking the rope.
It's
and,
like
and
the circus of the stars.
And that girl at the bottom's like whipping the rope.
And she's spinning and she's posing. And a gym teacher's just got her stopwatch staring. I'm like, the teacher's allowing this to go on.
And it goes on forever.
This is a lawsuit waiting to happen.
And the girl is like almost like real gymnastics, like holding on with two hands and like flipping her. And then all of a sudden, which it could happen, they show Rita like staring at her and the girl flies off and hits the ground. And now, did she die?
She died. Okay. And she landed with her arm all wrapped crazy. Like, okay, this means I'm dead.
Because they didn't seem
my
too.
My arm is behind my back.
They didn't seem too upset.
No,
that,
they didn't.
That, like their schoolmate died.
No.
So
then we cut to.
It was the best part.
Then we cut to, like, family, Rita's family. And the way that it's transitioned is that by their conversations, we know that this gym incident happened a month ago. So it's been a month.
Yeah.
And so the family, we know, by what their house is like, they are kind of like...
a little well-to-do.
Yeah, more well-to-do. They have money. And their house is one of those big, like, California ranch-style houses.
They're like an upstairs.
They do have an upstairs. It's all brick. And it's really nice.
Fireplace.
Super nice. And mom is well-dressed, very fashionable.
And that's why I meant modern. See? Hello, everybody.
I gotta turn that off.
So, the mom is wearing like that classic jumpsuit. She's fashionable for the time. The dad, it's early in the morning. They're getting ready to go back to school. The dad's going for work. You know, they sit down to eat and
waffles, I think.
They don't, the dad doesn't allow her, you know, kind of to have a second helping of the waffle.
Right. The younger sister's very thin, so she's like, I'm going to have more. And then the dad says, Rita, you shouldn't be having a second helping. And I'm like, why?
So they already set the tone of, you know, they think she's overweight. It's like that whole, like, thing about what the girls at school. I'm like, this poor girl has to deal with it at home, too.
She's getting bullied by her dad. Mm-hmm. And the mom is like, she's, like, pissed.
Yeah.
But he doesn't ever want to talk about it, you know, because he's like, basically, I run this house, you know.
And... so the girls leave to go to school, and she kind of has it out with him. Like, you don't need to talk that way to her.
Stop humiliating her.
Yeah. And so he's like going to go to work, and he's like, yeah, yeah, whatever.
And he's walking out, and she's like, hey, you're just going to leave, basically not say goodbye to her or whatever?
Yeah, because is he like a pilot or something? Because I was trying to figure out what he did for a living.
Yeah, there was really no, okay. You know, I do want to know what he did to afford that house. I mean, but and
carry a suitcase.
And he had that little Mercedes.
Oh,
car,
yeah,
that little,
right.
Like, sporty car or something. So anyway, so he kind of, that sets the tone about what the movie's like. So, so mom, you know, she doesn't work. She goes to lunch with her friend. And there's a whole nother aspect of weight again, because remember when her and her friend, Kathleen, are
that's at, who the yeah, Kathleen was,
are yeah. at lunch, they kind of laugh and they tell the waiter, if I ever ask you for this recipe of this cake, please don't give it to me. It's like,
yeah,
it's a thing about food in this movie.
Yeah, it's funny how they're out for dinner and I didn't know, or lunch, I was thinking like a drink, but then they had like cake, like a coffee cake type of, you know. So it was funny how they had an actual food and then made a comment about it.
Right. So then, and I don't know how this ties into anything, but when they were at lunch, Kathleen says, yeah, there was something weird that happened at such and such elementary school. All the kids got sick. And I was like, me knowing, seeing this movie.
Now it makes sense.
I'm like, was there something going on? You know,
right.
Did somebody do something to those kids? You know, I'll touch on that later.
Right.
But
it kind of, it's foreshadowed. Like, this is going to come up later. Remember this.
Yes. So then, as this movie progresses, we notice a change in Rita. Her and her dad are always fighting, and she, you know, that's what this whole film is this family drama.
Yeah.
Rita can't stand her sister, her
a lot
dad,
of fights between the sisters.
Her and her mom are, you know.
Usually the
they
mom
still have
is her.
Problems,
yeah.
But the mom advocates for her.
Yes. It's, you could tell, like, her and the mom are close, and she wants the best for her, and she's going to stick up for her, and
right.
It's hard.
Right.
The dad and her are fighting, like, so at this particular time, they're going to go out for dinner.
Well, they come home because mom went and surprised dad at, you know, his work.
I thought it was the airport. That's why I was like, is he a pilot?
Yeah, I don't know. But they were at the airport, and she basically tells, he's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, I'm trying to put some spice in our marriage, you know.
Right.
I guess they're having some issues, too. So they end up going out for a drink, and she's trying to talk to him about Rita, that you need to be a little bit more nicer to her. She loves you, and he says, I don't think she does. I mean, he even makes things sound like he doesn't like her,
mm-hmm.
his own daughter. So they end up going home. Rita was supposed to start dinner, and Rita's not there. So they are both pissed. And then Helen Hunt's character, the sister, Christine, is there, and she's like, she left. I don't know. She just left. She says, but I made dinner. So she's like, I made homemade pizza. They're like, homemade pizza? Where'd you, what? And she goes, I got a recipe from kid at school.
And
at
it's 13, like a mess.
It's a
kitchen.
Mess. Oh, she says, I'll clean it. And then the pizza looks like hell. It's burned.
They're so like, they're like, we got to go out.
Yeah. Well, when Rita happens to come home before they leave, and the dad starts going off on her. And basically telling her, you're not going out to dinner with us. And the mom's like, what? That's not, you know, she could stand to miss a meal.
Yeah.
And I thought,
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's just horrible.
And mind you, they still have like long sweaters, you know, and, you know, a cloak she's wearing and like things to kind of hide her body.
Yeah, they're trying to push it off that she's
yeah.
bigger than she is.
And so she's like, well, gets mad, of course, cries, and runs up to her room.
And then, yeah, and then they go out for dinner. So they're having dinner, and they happen to see his lawyer, the dad's lawyer friend, is there at the restaurant. He goes over there and, like, hi, how are you doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm real high. He's been drinking a lot, so they call it high.
Yeah, I was thinking, what high are you doing?
So then the guy leaves, which, hello, this man has been drinking, and he's even admitting it, how drunk he is.
And he's a
driving,
lawyer.
And he's driving home.
Yeah.
Get in my car. I'm so drunk. All of a sudden, Dad has the sudden urge to leave the restaurant.
And they're, yeah, they, and
but
they're
you,
like,
you see
yeah.
flashes of Rita's face, like, superimposed on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm like, uh-oh, what's this mean?
What is she doing?
Yeah, what is she doing? So Dad gets up. He doesn't say anything to anybody, and he walks very quickly outside. As he goes, he walks out into the parking lot, and his friend is speeding in the car and almost hits him.
Yeah.
And so then...
it kind of wakes him up.
Wakes him up, and then Mom and sister come out, and they're like, what's happening? Oh, my God, what's going on? And he's like, he almost hit me with the car. He almost killed me. And then he's like, sure, he was high and everything, but I don't think he was that high. So then they go home, and they're still kind of, like, rattled or whatever.
Yes.
And... so
he goes to check his car.
Yeah, for some he went out in the garage, or they pulled into the garage, I think. And then they,
yeah.
And he's like, somebody's been driving my car, because the hood of the car was hot. So he runs upstairs, because, of course, Rita was home alone. And so he starts yelling at her, like, were you driving? And she goes, I don't like driving. I'm thinking to myself, she's 15. How?
Right.
Why is she driving? I don't know.
I mean, I guess stranger things have happened. I mean, I don't know if that was a thing where 15-year-olds were just like, oh, I'm going to get in my mom's car or whatever, or dad's car.
Right. I don't remember the laws back then.
But... and he's, like, really adamant. And she's like, well, fine, this is what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And tells him about the baby.
She pulls a nest out of her dresser drawer.
Yeah.
It's got bird eggs in it.
And she's trying to keep him warm. So, of course, why not start the car and put him on top of the...
she said she used her electric blanket.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, and you put it on the car? What if it messed up my car? I didn't think about that. You know, she's kind of like that smirks and smart mouse kind of. So she's starting to change. She used to be very mousy.
And he doesn't really believe her, but he just kind of gets... like, he knows, okay, that's, you know, the end of the combo.
And then Mom stays there, and they just have a little chat, a little hug and everything, and then that's the end of that. So then we cut to another scene. The sister has a swim meet, because she's on a little swim team at the school. And the same coach
just so
is
happens.
Also the gym teacher.
Who reminded me of Rizzo, but it wasn't Scott or Channing or anything.
No.
Just reminded me of Rizzo. I don't know.
So she seems really nervous, and Mom and Dad are there, and she's like, does she seem nervous to you? Like, she seems abnormally nervous. And she's like, yeah, she'll be fine. Dad's like, yeah, she's fine, you know. You can tell that she's Dad's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. So swim meet starts, and she gets in there, and then all of a sudden we see those flashes of Rita's face. You know, the 70s. trying to make it scary and supernatural. And...
that's just the clue, like something supernatural is happening.
And they play that little music, too, that goes with it. And so then she's like starts to drown, like something is pulling her under and holding her under. Dad dives in the pool.
Because Dad is...
fully clothed, like, he dives in there and he gets her, and then they pull her out. And she's okay. The gym teacher is performing her own type of...
CPR.
Yeah, life-saving maneuvers by pushing and pulling on her arms.
Because when in doubt, just start flailing, you know.
But then she's okay. They get back to the house, and Rita's standing at the top of the stairs. How did the meet go? Your sister had an accident. Oh, that's too bad. And then the dad goes, she didn't even ask why. She doesn't even care.
What happened? Nothing.
So, and then... you can see, too, as Rita's evolving, the sister's getting more distant. Like, she's a little more afraid,
mm-hmm.
you know. Because she's kind of got, her sister's got a little snarky attitude. And she seems like a little go-getter. She's not afraid to clean the dishes. She's, like, helpful, you know. So I can see where Rita's like, The dad's like, that's it. We're going to send her ass away.
which is my...
When in doubt, send your kid away.
Yeah, if you don't want to deal with them, yeah, just let somebody else deal with them.
So I remember thinking, well, where are they going to send her? I mean,
I kept thinking,
is there a place to go where, like, these are troubled kids that the parents don't want?
Right. I was thinking the whole time the abominable snow, you know, ski chalet in some, like, deserted ski town in, like, a different country.
So her friend Kathleen has been ill, so she goes to visit her one night. And Rita says, I don't think you should go. And she's like, why? Kathleen's my friend. I have to go. She's been ill. She has something that you may catch. And she's like, what? I'm going. So she goes there, and her husband, Kathleen's husband, tells her, yeah, she's not feeling well, and I don't think she wants to see you. And she's like, what? Why doesn't she want to see me? She goes, I don't know. She just seems like she's afraid. Well, then Kathleen comes down the stairs, and she's like in a bathrobe, and this is the only special effects of this entire movie. The only thing. I thought it was okay. But so as soon as she gets down there and she starts talking to her, she starts like burning up from the inside.
Yeah, this was wild.
And her face like kind of blows up a little bit. And is burning, is on fire.
You know what she looked like? And I wrote this down. The grandmas and the rabid grannies.
Oh.
Like how they would, yeah, they were like all puffed up.
Yes. And then she runs out of the house, and her husband runs out there. Marilyn, the mom, is like, help her. Oh, God, help her. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs, help her. Well, the husband grabs her, and then he starts to burn,
yeah,
because he touched her. And then, so her friend's gone, and then Marilyn's like very upset. And then she comes home, and Rita says, I told you not to go.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, but the whole time, mom doesn't see any of these things. Like, she's not put two and two together.
Right. I thought the same thing, because then after watching the whole entire movie, you start thinking about, well, just different parts of it, and
right,
why didn't the mom step up?
Right, and then so they end up going to a dinner party for his work. His colleagues were there, and she didn't really want to go, but he's like, it'll be good for you to get out. Like, my friend just died in a horrible way, but
right,
that's okay, Dad, you jerk. So they go there, and the mom ends up meeting this like parapsychologist guy. He's like a professor. I think he teaches this stuff. And he walks up to her and he starts talking to her. And all of a sudden he can see this woman's face burning. Like and he's just like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And he leaves her there. I'm like, well, that was strange. And then I think he talks to her again and he's like, I really want to talk to you. I have time at this conference I'm doing that's in San Francisco or whatever. Gives her his card. And she's like, why do I need to talk to you? You know, I don't understand. So then he's out of the picture for a while. And then now we're at the crossroad where they want to send
her somewhere.
Her somewhere.
Wherever that somewhere
right
is.
So they have a discussion about it. Rita's like, no, I'm not going. Apparently, this is a school in England that she wanted to go to about 6 months ago, and now she's changed her mind. Maybe because she's not being bullied anymore.
She's a tough girl now.
Right.
I could just make people blow up.
So she wants to talk to the younger sister, so the mom does. So she sneaks in her room, and she's like, I need you to tell me what's going on. What kind of fights are you having with your sister, and what's happening? And so Christine's like, I can't talk to you. She finds out.
Right.
So
you can tell she's afraid.
Yeah, she's really afraid. So then she says, I don't care. You tell me. So she gets up and turns on her little clock radio, her 1970s clock radio.
And
there's this song on there that is just horrible. It's super loud. And so
like that's gonna draw attention.
Right. So they're talking. She's telling her she's afraid. She does bad things. She caught her and the gym teacher in the gym teacher's house. And they do these chants. And she got caught. So she said that she was going to pay for her snooping in on her right. business. So the mom's like, what? You know, she goes, she's not doing any of these things that, you know, mm-hmm. you're thinking that she's capable of doing. And she's like, why won't you believe? Why won't you believe? And so then the mom's like, oh, okay. So she leaves her, and Rita knows that they're talking about her.
Right.
And she uses her little powers to make the volume on their clock radio go up and up and up and make yeah. all crazy. So then, of course, the sister's scared and jumps in bed.
Because that's, yeah, that's where I hide.
So then that prompts mom to go find the psychic guy to talk to him. And he just starts doing all this mumbo jumbo of the 70s business of like, everybody's got this something inside of them and only so many people can actually tap into it.
Because that's right. The answer.
Their conversation is only like 3 minutes. Basically, he says that. And I'm like, that really was a worthless scene. We didn't need that scene.
Right. It didn't really tell her anything.
It didn't tell her anything. Especially, I was confused when we get to the end part.
Yes.
I'm going to break that out there, too. So
it's so hard for me because I just want to say other things, but I can't because.
Right. We'll wait to the end. So, so then they had the fight. Dad is like, she's going. And she says, no, I want you just to give me one night. I want you and Christine to go someplace, go get a hotel or whatever. I want to spend a full day with her, or, you know. And he's like, okay, fine. If you can do something, you know, with her, then you can go ahead.
Right.
So then she's hiding out and hears Rita leave. So she follows her. And Rita goes to the gym teacher's house. And she always wears this red cloak whenever she...
like a little Red Riding Hood reference.
Yeah, trots out to the house. Mom's listening in on their conversation. And so the two of them have this power. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing things. However, the gym teacher, I don't even remember her name. She's just gym teacher.
she wasn't that important.
She wasn't. We could have called her Rizzo, but.
Rizzo, the teacher.
They don't necessarily say it's witchcraft. They don't necessarily say what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
supernatural.
It's supernatural. I know that they kind of tried to pimp this as a telekinesis movie. You know,
right.
I'm sorry. When you do telekinesis, I don't think you do chants and hear like these devilly sounds when you're conjuring up power or something.
Right.
But so that was my take. Is that it's witchcraft. There's a slight little witch off.
I want to say a witch off, but I didn't want to say that.
It was a slight witch off between her and the gym teacher because the gym teacher wants to control her.
Right.
And like, we have to kill your dad. And she's like, no, I don't want to kill anybody. I'll make him sick. And she's like, no, he'll just get better. Well, what about my mom? She'll get over it. Like, oh.
I know he's an ass and all.
Yeah. But then she mentions she wants to basically start like a coven, the gym teacher. And she wants her to share her ability with other people. And she's like, no, this is my thing. My power makes right. me special. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be around anybody.
And they're all a bunch of bullies.
Yes. Then the teacher's like, well, I guess I thought you would be, you know, reasonable about this, and locks the door with her mind. Like, ding, yeah. ding. Then they start their chanting and witch off starts happening. And Rita must be the most powerful one because she knocks that lady down. And I was laughing because the lady made this roar like some demon. She fell down. And then she's laying down on the ground twitching. So I just want to know what's going on. And then she just leaves her there. And then they close up on her face and she's just twitching. So then she goes home. The whole time, mom is watching this.
Right. That's why I was like, and the mom never...
She's like... So then she goes home. So...
This is...
As we... Yeah. Okay, as it said in the...
They're ready for the witch off.
Yes. As it stated at the beginning of the show, we do spoil these movies. So if you, you know, don't like spoilers up to the very, very last minute of the movie, turn this off, go watch it, come back. If you don't care, listen.
Okay. I'd say just listen.
Just listen, because it's funny. So then Rita's like, ha, 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 I'm going to go home and I'm going to eat.
Make
like,
me some grilled cheese.
It's grilled cheese? Yeah, it's like 11 o'clock at night.
The grilled cheese she was making, I was like.
She's probably like, Dad's not home, I'm going to eat.
Three. Because there were like three.
She did. Oh, and she did say, I don't know. Well, she's there and started making up her grilled cheese. And Mom comes in and she says, oh, hi, I'm making some grilled cheese.
And she's like being nice.
And
like
she's being nice.
The mom's being normal, yeah. Trying to be.
And I mean, can you imagine? What would you think if your daughter was doing some witchcraft?
I was peeking in the window and saw all this shit going on.
How would you confront your daughter?
I'd be like,
So anyway, she's making her grilled cheese. And Mom is like, sit down. Well, first she says, I made grilled cheese. Do you want some? And she goes, no. And then she goes, I want to talk to you. Okay, in a minute. Sit down.
Now.
I will. Sit down. She's getting all mouthy. Now. I said, in a minute.
Yeah.
She said,
it's like that thing that every parent wants to have, like, to be like, I'm going to
yeah,
throw you across the room with my eyes if you don't sit down.
Tony just spoiled the movie.
No, I didn't. Go ahead.
So the mom tells her to sit down. She said, in a minute. And she's all of a sudden, the mom, she takes a deep breath and she goes, no, I mean, this. I thought I said I thought you were right. And all of a sudden, she flies back with like, the mom's got power! Yes.
And then the grilled cheese goes flying. All the cheese and the butter and the bread is everywhere. And I just kept thinking, the whole time the mom had the power, but she stood outside peeking through a window.
Right, right.
Unless maybe the mom was doing it and that Rita thought she was doing it.
No.
So they're rolling around the kitchen.
Well, no, yeah. She throws her across the room and then she's like, she goes,
this is the best part.
Yeah, my best part. And I love this part.
How do you think you?
Yeah, I'm the only one. I'm the one who's got this. She goes, how do you think you got it? And I was like, oh, dang.
Like, she's like, I'm the one that's special.
I'm the one that's special, yes.
And so she was like, ah.
Yeah, and the mom is just tearing her up.
Yeah. Like, don't send me away.
Right. She's throwing her around.
The kitchen is a mess. There's like, there's food all over.
The mom is unloading every dish in the house on their daughter. They're flying out of cabinets. Falling on her.
Yeah.
She's picking her up and throwing her across the room. And then the daughter gets a lick in.
Yeah.
And throws her mom across the room. I'm like, yes, this is a mother-daughter witch off. So.
And that's, okay. And so then it all comes to, why didn't the mom see what was going on?
Right.
Back earlier on. I mean.
And put two and two together. Like.
And then asking some psychic man and, you know, and that.
Why would she have to ask him if she knew she had this? And obviously, well, and they did have a small, like, conversation. So when you look back at once you know the end of the movie, the mom is the one who had it, and, you know.
Right.
And they end up making up at the end because she got her little butt beat by her mom.
It was kind of the classic spanking that you would give your kid.
I mean, it was a witch spanking. And so then, you know.
So the question is, did she get sent away?
Well, the last line of the movie I didn't understand because she's like, Mom, and then she's like, don't make me go. And then they're on the floor hugging each other. All this mess is all around
Spill orange juice.
And then she goes, it's okay, you're home. You're home. And I'm like, yeah, we know she's home. That doesn't make any sense, that last line.
Yeah.
And then they end it like, okay, you know, like Halloween ends where every murder or Michael Myers
scene,
they go into that room as they, you know, with the music. They did that here. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't, nothing happened.
I just felt it needed a little bit more explanation. I mean, we could all think that maybe the witch spell was put on the mom to ignore all the signs, maybe. Because if I would think if you had a psychic ability or any type of ability like that's been passed down, let's say, because, you know, you hear about, you know, people like psychics and their children may have it or whatever.
Right.
You would think the mom would have been like looking at those girls like, do they have it?
It just blossomed or something. And
yeah. Unless the mom tried to just ignore her abilities all those years, maybe, or like it wasn't true, or
maybe,
know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but I just had a few questions.
Yeah.
At the end.
Overall,
of the show.
It was a good.
You liked it.
It was good.
So I know you didn't see this. So how, like, what did you think about the movie and then the reveal, the surprise ending?
Oh, I liked it because I guess maybe all that other stuff was put in, you know, talking to the psychic and the mom really, like, what's going on? Like, not knowing and all of that was kind of put in so you wouldn't guess the ending.
Yeah, there was no clue. I mean, a lot of these, like, TV
movies
are predictable.
I didn't
think about it. I didn't predict
it. I did think before they showed the whole gym teacher aspect, like, in the beginning, in that first couple scenes where the gym teacher's there and she wasn't really standing up for her, and then with the whole thing with the rope business, and you know, it's like they, and then they went back to school and they showed that teacher again. It wasn't thinking in the beginning, I didn't even think the teacher was in on it. I just thought it was her. So it wasn't until like as the movie went along, so it was like an onion, you know, they didn't really reveal the whole thing,
right?
So I did like that. I did like how the sister was scared of her and kind of kept home, got away from her, and
right.
So it was good.
So yeah, I did like the ending of
and
that.
Usually
movie.
I can predict endings and
yeah.
stuff, but no, that was good.
I love a good witch off.
Yeah. It's funny.
I love a good witch off. The one thing that I will say that was funny, a little annoying too, was the piece of music they play constantly
yeah.
to this movie. It's a family drama. it's like an after-school special music.
Right.
So let me see if I can cue it up here.
Oh, God. You hear this all the time, like, walking on the path.
After-school time!
Two teenagers going down, like, you know, to the creek. Like, I feel like Little House on the Prairie. I've heard
yes.
that music.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. So yeah, that's the music that I was like, oh, this music. But that's what they play the whole time.
And I mean, and at that time, you know, those family, like, or I don't want to say family, those movies of the week were a thing.
I mean, yes.
I know people probably were like, 7 o'clock Friday night, bring your popcorn, let's sit around and watch these movies. You
it
know,
it was a thing. Like, and you knew it like all week.
Yeah,
like you knew Saturday was the best because Friday night or Saturday was always a scary movie. But yeah, you knew like on Monday. So you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh God. And then you talk about it on Monday at school. Like,
mm-hmm.
did you watch that movie?
Right.
And they were like.
And my mom was going out for her lunch date.
Yeah.
They, on Monday, they'd be like, oh my God.
There's a few like TV movies that I really, really like. I think it's called The Intruder Within. It is like an alien ripoff. And I remember it's like 1981. I watched this, I remember, and it scared the crap out of me. It's about an oil rig out in the ocean, and they're drilling out there, and they pull up these, like, weird egg things.
I'm out.
And then they end up, like, you know, hatching, and then this one guy, like, gets, like, infected by it, by them.
Push him overboard.
I'm out. I know. Right?
I would have been like, I know how this is ending. Give me a rowboat.
Yeah.
Give me the Tinder. I'm out of here.
But yeah, so that's a good one. Intruder Within. That one is it's available, I think, on YouTube. But I think Tony should watch that one. That's
oh,
pretty good.
I don't know. I'm a witch one.
You're a witch one.
I like the witch offs myself.
It was another good one. I think it was a TV movie. Summer of Fear with Linda Blair.
Oh, because that was a Lois
yeah, you read
Duncan.
Yeah. That's
see, that
one.
Was reading my little teen romance
yes,
killer, was. You know, mystery novels.
Where back in the day. Cousin was a, well, the supposed cousin was a witch and came to live with them.
And yeah, she actually like just killed the cousin and took her place. Right.
So yeah, we should do that one, and Tony can give us all the information about the book versus the movie. She may have to read it again. But there are some, you know, some other movies that are kind of similar to this. One is The Possessed. That is from 1977. It stars Harrison Ford right before Star Wars. Basically, an evil force is plaguing a high school. And this was also aired that same year. The Spell was released February 20th, 1977. And then this one was May 1st, the same year. So another one that is kind of rare. I don't know. Tony probably never even heard of this one, called Jennifer.
I don't think so.
Another girl, she's bullied. She's like, I feel like that she was raised where they have the, they speak in tongues and snakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make moonshine.
Yeah, she has to go to this school, and these bullies are, these girls are harassing her, and she has the power to psychically communicate and control snakes.
Oh, God. That's all I gotta say. I don't know about snakes.
It's a good show. It's from the 70s. They're not doing
anything bad.
So a little bit of trivia about this movie, The Spell. This was an NBC TV movie of the week. And it was a part of their big event series. Aired, like I said, on Sunday, February 20th, 1977 at 8 p.m. What's fun is after The Spell aired at 9:30 was the famed SNL Live from Mardi Gras was on. So it was SNL Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And it was like the old Saturday Night Live people, you know, Jane Curtin, John Belushi, all of those. And it also had the guest stars of Henry Winkler, Penny Marshall, and Cindy Williams. I've seen the clips of this, and it's very bizarre. Like, it's very...
Were they drunk?
No, but there was just some things. I don't know. It was just a weird production. If anybody knows about that, hit me up in an email or send me a DM on our social. And also, what else was fun was on other stations airing at that same time, on ABC, $6 Million Man was playing, and Rhoda was on CBS. Little snapshot, little history. The film was meant to be released as a feature film rather than a TV movie. However, on Carrie was released the prior year. Mm-hmm. And like we said, The Spell has some similarities to Carrie. However, the writer, Brian Taggart, he claimed that he wrote this before Stephen King even released the book. So he's saying that his story was even before
Stephen King. I think it was that time, though.
The 70s were filled with supernatural. They were really heavily into supernatural, occult stuff. So.
And what's best? I mean, the kid getting bullied at school and has powers and makes the bullies pay. I mean, that's a classic line.
Because everybody would love to do that.
Yeah. But that rope thing, that was pretty good.
That was crazy.
If anything, if you don't want to watch this movie, just look for that on YouTube. Because it went on forever, and they were down there swinging that rope.
I know.
And the gym teacher letting that go on for that long.
I know. Stupid.
And I'd be telling them, you better shut your mouth. I'd be telling them off. Like,
I know. But
anyway, sorry.
No, you're fine. We already talked about how they pimped this as telekinesis, but like I said, those scary voices and them chanting, that's not...
Right. Telekinesis is, I'm thinking Jason Voorhees.
They're just thinking it. They're not having to chant. And I don't know where the devil voice came from the gym teacher when she knocked her up.
Tell me more.
Okay. I think Tony's had enough to drink, courage.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Okay.
So this film did have some mixed reviews. A lot of people called it dull or boring.
Oh, how do you think that was boring or dull?
And I don't know.
Is this when it came out in the 70s? Like, the people gave it those reviews?
I think I did read a lot of comments on more modern.
Right.
Of course, by modern taste, it's going to be that way.
Right.
For me, I think it's a little nostalgic, but I think it's fun. It's a fun movie. It is. If you know that going into it, you'll enjoy it, I think. You know, Harriet Van Horn from the New Yorker magazine of 1977, she said, quote, "Lee Grant is too good of an actress for this TV trash," unquote. But then there were some reviews that people say, hey, it was good. It was a good waste of 90 minutes. It kept my attention.
Right.
You know. I think it does have some elements of filmmaking that I thought that kind of helped it a little bit. Of course, there was the sound design and the music. So we had the chanting in the background, the roar. And I just know how to set her off again.
Roar. Tell me more.
So anyway, and then they have that, you know, whenever they're doing the witch off, they have this 70s kind of like music, like supernatural, so you know what's right. happening.
And the way the shot's set up. And
right. Yeah, they have like that low angle of Rita with the camera is like down below shooting upwards. It's making her look menacing at times. Also, if you notice during the witch off, the camera, like you said, gets, they call it obtuse angles. And, you know, I think that just also shows the more something supernatural is happening. You know, a costume design. I mean, they're trying to make Rita look bigger than what she is by giving her those big frumpy clothes and big sweatpants and things like that.
And don't forget about the leotards.
The leotards, yeah. It's very dated. However, I think that Rita's red cloak, that could be anytime.
All right.
Middle Ages, it could be modern. Although, the only thing was special effects-wise was the Kathleen's face.
Yeah.
Very, very minimal.
Last call.
Oh, Tony, guess what time it is.
Oh, is it time to talk about our favorite wrestlers?
No. It's last call.
Oh, dang.
It's that moment where we...
The worst part of the night.
The worst part of the night. So...
Are we getting another one?
We can have another one. So... Obviously, you like the cocktail enough to have another one.
Yes. Hurry up before they...
they sweep us out.
Yeah, they kick us out of here.
I do like this. I would have it again. Again, listeners, it's a Cosmorita.
Very more like a Rita. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Which I like.
Yes, it is more like a margarita. And it's very easy to whip up, and I do recommend this one.
Yes, even I do. Not too ticky.
Other than that, I think that's all I have for this. Did you have anything?
No.
No? Okay.
I think we covered all of it.
I know, right?
So I will give it, if we need to get a rating scale.
Okay.
But I would watch this again.
And so we need to think of a rating scale.
Yeah, entertaining.
I think it should be cocktail, like two cocktails or...
I'd give it 4 out of 5 Cosmoritas. Because that's how many you're going to drink.
In 90 minutes?
Right.
For our next...
Yeah, what are we doing next?
Well, we're going to be doing summer vacation. That's the theme. So I think what we're going to do is Tony's going to pick a movie, and I'm going to pick a movie.
Okay.
And we're not going to tell you what about right now. We will leave some clues on our socials to see if you can guess it. So summer vacation will be the theme. So, as always, be sure to contact us. We would love to hear from you and your recommendations. Let us know if you tried the cocktail today.
Yes, enjoy that.
Enjoy
cocktail.
That. We're going to turn it over to announcer guy. He's going to give you the rundown of the ways to contact us again and some more information. And as always, see you next time.
Bye, loungers.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Absurd Cinema Lounge with your hosts, Kara and Tony. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe and please review the show. You can email the ladies of the lounge at absurdcinemalounge@gmail.com. Become a lounger and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Absurd Cinema Lounge. The music for today's episode NBC, the big event opening theme, and Boogie Land by Wanda Shakes. Our featured cocktail recipe was provided by Liquor.com. The spell is a Charles Fry's and Stonehenge production. No copyright infringement is intended. Be sure to join us for episode 16, where the ladies will discuss two films for summer vacation. I'm announcer guy telling you nobody liked to climb the rope in gym class. The lounge is now closed.